Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz. Kate and I are back together after what seems like months and months of recording from afar or not recording at all.
Yeah, but we're back now because we did get some pictures in, finally, after we really put our foot down
awesome.
On that one.
I'm still waiting to get some confirmation on our lady. She said yes, she was into it.
That's our architectural expert.
Yes.
She's coming, so keep sending them in.
We have a yes, we're just getting a date.
Keep sending in those photographs of new construction. Oh, lordy, lordy.
So recently there's been a big stir up in the nonprofit San Francisco art scene, I would say.
Uh-huh.
Because our beloved organization, Southern Exposure, is down 1, 2, 3, 4 staff members.
Which
right?
is 60%.
60% of its staff.
Is that right? Yes.
Well, yeah, because there's 2 staff
66.6 repeating percent.
You know, there's been a lot of conversations with lots of former staff and those current staff that are no longer there about what's going on with the organization.
Well, not current, because if they're no longer there, they're not.
Current former staff.
And old former staff and more recent former
staff.
There,
we can say that, yeah. So there's just a lot of concern about what's going on with the organization. There's a lot of concern about what's going on with their executive director, who's been making these decisions to let her staff go. There's a lot of concern about the board members and what they're doing, or why, like, just how is this happening? How is this happening so quickly? To me, it seems like there's a huge HR issue with Southern Exposure that desperately needs to be addressed in order for the organization to literally fucking exist in a year, you know, or 2 years from now. Anyhow, I just want to say it's a little bit tricky. I'm not totally sure how to be. I want to be diplomatic, and I also don't want to be diplomatic about this whole thing.
Maysoon's got a fire in her eye.
And I care about the organization. I care about its longevity. I have thought a lot about whether or not SOX is at a point where it could sunset or close, basically. Like, has it done it? Has it made its full arc? You know, like, is it at a point where closing is okay?
Why is that okay?
It's not okay. I don't think it is okay.
Why would it be okay?
I think there's a conversation within, like, the art world and nonprofit arts organizations in particular, where, like, if your institution is at a point where it's no longer creating new and exciting work or supporting artists in a way that's, like, actually helpful or useful, or it's just sort of like, you know, going through the motions, doing the same thing over and over again, that maybe it's time for it to close, you know, that maybe there's
no
I'm not saying that about SOX. I'm just saying there is this idea of sunsetting and, like, closing an institution before it, like, drags out, you know, where it's like this, like, depressing, awful end because it's dragged on for, like, 15 extra years. You know what I mean?
No.
Anyhow. I don't feel that SOX, and I'm not the all-knowing, but I do have an opinion, and I care deeply about the organization as someone who's worked there for 5 years a while ago. I don't think SOX is there. I don't think it should be. I don't think it should close. I think it's still serving a really important part of the community. It's still doing a lot of important work. I think artists really need it still. It's providing opportunities for artists and for youth and for arts educators and so many people. So, I don't think it's at that point. But I do know that there are some financial issues that I'm worried that in the current state are not going to be resolvable. And so that's where I feel very concerned about the institution. I don't know. I mean, I guess I sort of feel like I'd like the board to be more forthcoming about the decisions that they've made, recent decisions they made, or more, transparent.
And that's the board, not the curatorial board.
But I feel like that organization's not being transparent right now. And I think they're actually being the opposite of transparent.
Opaque.
And I think that's a real problem and a real concern. And so I'd love for them to get back to it as far as, like, being transparent and doing the work that they're there to do, which is to work with artists and not whatever's going on now.
I feel very tense right now. I have indigestion.
It's very tense. And it's even tense, like, you know, I know some of the board members and consider myself to be very close friends with them. And we're kind of like, I feel like there's definitely tiptoeing around the issue with one another. And that's like a not fun place to be, you know, and I feel very conflicted. You know, their auction is this weekend and I was planning on going. A friend of mine has work in the show. You have work in the show. All
sure
these
do.
Awesome people have work in the show. and or in the auction. And a friend of mine offered their plus one ticket so we could go together. And I was going to go. And I said no, because I just, you know, I don't support. I part of me wants to say I don't support SOEX in this moment right now, like in the decision making process that, that they've gone through. I feel like that is more important than the auction. Like the HR situation that's happened is, I don't know. I just can't bring myself to go to SOEX, to the auction. I can't bring myself to be like, to pretend that everything's like lovey-lovey.
Well, it's kind of like you don't want to watch your friend, like, I mean, if SOEX being like your friend in a metaphor. You don't want to just watch them self-destruct.
But at the same time, I want them to sell every fucking work on the wall.
Right.
Because I know how important that fundraising event is for that organization.
Right.
It's a huge percentage of its annual fund or of its annual budget. So it's very, it's a really, it's like very catch-22 for me, because I don't support what the leadership is doing in general. But I do support the organization.
The programming. And,
and I support the one other staff member who's still there. Desperately love her. And it's just like, it's just tricky. So I feel really, and many of us feel very torn about what, where we, how do we support the organization without ignoring what's happening? And so I think we're just, I'm trying to, we and I, and I'm just trying to figure out like what can we do as a community? What can we do as former staff members to ensure that the institution stays healthy, you know, in all of its aspects, right? Not just like financially or whatever, like in all of its areas that are, need to be healthy to thrive. I encourage listeners to take this information and to take it seriously and not to just like go blabbing. You know, like not that our listeners are, but like it's, to me, it's not like, it's not like hot goss, you know, or hot gossip.
Because it's a place you care about.
It's a really important, it's a very serious situation for me and for many of us who have been talking about it for the past like week or two. So I just encourage you, if you care and are concerned, to express it to the current staff or, you know, the more recent past former staff who are no longer there. I'd love to give a shout out to Nick Wiley, to
Lisa,
Maya,
Martin, Maya, Vrenny, and...
and, of course, Val. Val, who's still there.
Val's still there.
Shout out to all you guys. We love you. And are crying a little bit inside.
Maysoon really is welling up. As someone who's only been in the Bay Area for, like...
6 years?
Something like that now. Isn't
that
wild?
You're kind of like an old-timer almost.
No way. Yeah. Not at all.
Old school.
It's getting to be like Maine, where if you haven't been here for three generations, you're from away. You're from away. But as somebody who hasn't been here forever, there was this place that closed before I even got here called New Langton Arts. And every time this happens, like when Intersection went through its weirdness years ago.
Weird changes.
Yeah. And... any time an art nonprofit's kind of having trouble like this, everybody brings up New Langton.
Yeah.
Do you want to weigh in on that at all?
Well, no. I mean, I think that is exactly what we're all kind of concerned about. It's like...
well, what happened? So New Langton Arts was another like nonprofit gallery, right? That was kind of a similar place to SOEX in that it was like experimental art and like emerging artists and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, their director left for another position. They hired...
and that was Susan Miller.
Susan Miller.
Who now is running the...
McAvoy Foundation for the Arts, yeah. Susan Miller left to do other things, which directors are allowed to do, you know. And I think they hired an interim director who I believe basically spent down the funds without fundraising. And I don't know really, I don't remember at this point what where the board was, but I think there's just like, there seems to be a lack of understanding that in these nonprofits, and maybe this doesn't have to be the way that it always is, the executive director, their primary role is to fundraise. And they have to fundraise all the time. Like, there's not like one part of the year where you fundraise and that's it. Like, you basically are raising money every minute of the day, every day, probably over your weekends, probably after work hours. You know what I mean?
Jeez, like, Louise.
And that's not sustainable and it's not ideal. And I'm sure that there are other models that would actually be much more fruitful and helpful, like, you know, sustainable for nonprofit workers. But that is typically what happens. And so oftentimes when like new interim directors, or if the board has to sort of take over while a new director is being hired, or they're figuring out what they're doing, if they're not actively working towards fundraising, it's just money can get spent very quickly, especially when you're paying like a staff, you know, like people are getting $1,000 checks every couple of weeks. I mean, that money can go really fast. If you're paying your artists, you have programming that's already planned, you have to like move forward, you're paying your preparators, you're paying the bills, you're paying the rent, you know, it's like you can go through a reserve quickly if you're not careful or if you're not actively fundraising. And so I think that that's sort of like what happened with New Langton Arts. That's partially what happened with Intersection, with how they ended up sort of being more now a fiscal sponsor instead of a presenting organization. So everyone just take a moment of silence and pray for Soex.
We got a lot of announcements today. Irving Street Project's got a show up called Fielding Connections by Matt Katsaros. It's already up, and the closing reception will be May 20th. It's up until May 31st. Get out there. If you already live in the Outer Sunset, as many people do, not hard to get to. Jack Fisher's got a show up.
I saw that show. I just saw it today.
How was it?
It was interesting. It was very S&M.
Oh, that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, it's by this the artist name it Bella Feldman, War Toys, Fire and Fury. It's quite a mouthful.
Topical.
And the works are they look like weapons.
They sure do. I'm looking at one here that looks like a
what
mace.
What do they call that?
A mace, but where both ends are the spiky
double-ended mace.
And one end is on a little wheeled thing, and they're chained together.
Kind of like almost like a little tank, maybe.
But the balls that the spikes are on are transparent.
They're glass. So I think they're hand-blown glass, which is pretty interesting. So there's some pieces where the glass is kind of like bumping into the metal, and like it looks very... it's kind of almost sensual, but weird, because it's like this really cold, hard, like spiky, intense metal structure where the glass is kind of like blobbing over it a little bit.
Interesting.
In some ways. So it's interesting the way the gallery is set up. There's a bunch of these sort of smaller, they're pretty small. I'd say they're like a couple feet in length by like a foot wide by a foot tall, let's say. Sculpture objects. There's a whole slew, like there's a whole cluster of maybe 5 to 7 on the floor in Jack Fisher's space. And then there's a couple like on the back wall that are laid out. And then there's vinyl text that goes from, let's say, 4 feet up on the wall all the way around. That's like phrases. And the phrases are like weapons of mass destruction, like just different kinds of like war or militaristic type phrases that we hear in the news on a regular basis.
Uh-huh. Overall score?
Do we do that?
Sometimes.
I don't like scoring.
You can give a vague score.
Is 5 bad?
Let's say 5, but wait, let's not say what the scale is.
5.
Fantastic.
5 points.
5 points. Here's an interesting show. Atlas of Decivilization is going from March 3rd to March 29th at Toby's Art Gallery, which is out in Point Reyes.
Wow, that's pretty far.
Can you believe that?
It's beautiful, though.
That's at 11250 Highway 1.
Just right there on the highway. Pop on off. Don't get hurt. Don't get hit.
Are open from Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. So, and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Sorry, what's the gallery called?
It's called Toby's Art Gallery.
Oh, huh. So, last time I was up there, I actually went to an art gallery in Point Reyes Station on Highway 1. I don't remember that it was called Toby's, but a friend of mine, Alicia Escott, who's a local artist, had a show there.
This show is part of the Geography of Hope Conference, and apparently the gallery is part of Toby's Feed Barn. It's in a barn, Mason.
Oh, so it's further, it's down the street. I know exactly where that is.
You know what we're talking about here?
I know what we're talking about.
So go check it out. Get out there. Point Reyes.
You're going to go to the opening, Kate?
I'm sure it's the mating season of something.
What month is it? March.
The turkeys are mating. People, I've been seeing nothing but Instagram stories of people and wild turkeys around here, especially in the East Bay. And I gotta say, turkeys look fun and they look funny, but they are vicious,
ferocious
killers. And my friend Barbara got, as we've talked about many times, my friend Barbara got attacked by one out of the headlands. Of course, she instigated, but I'm just letting you know that...
Of course.
You have to respect wildlife, no matter how ridiculous it seems. Especially turkeys. You think the beak is going to get you, but it's the talons, the claws.
Don't fuck with the talons. They'll rip your flesh apart.
Keep a distance. Respect the wildlife. Any wild animal you see out there,
Don't go try to pet it.
Give it a wide berth. That's what I'll say.
Wildlife, wide berth.
That's right. Here's a new gallery. We got a call in, May, soon, and sure enough,
I love a new gallery.
I usually don't answer if it's a number I don't recognize, but I was expecting a number I didn't recognize, and sure enough, I scared the hell out of this guy.
I love that you answered. That's great.
I know, right? His name's Reuben Gibson, and he is running a gallery. He's running a gallery out there called Gibson Art Projects.
Oh, I've heard this.
And they're presenting Kevin Jensen's Carbon Sequestration, okay? Now, the venue is really interesting. It's the Pauline Kael Jess Murals house. The house has fucking murals by Jess.
Oh, right. We got that email. Didn't we get an email by him, too?
Yeah,
I remember looking at it.
Yeah, I told him to email because, you know, cool. I can't remember anything.
That looks really interesting. I would love to go see that house.
Okay, well, check this out. The address is 2419 Oregon Street in Berkeley, California.
Oh, but it's been Berkeley.
I know. But it's right near Ashby Bard, I think.
Okay.
And the dates are March 24th through May 19th. And the opening reception is going to be March 24th from 4 to 7 p.m.
Get excited. That's awesome. Oh, yeah.
Well, but don't be out on the street smoking your cigarettes and scaring the kids in the
smoking
neighborhood.
Smoking your weed.
Don't
keep it to yourself.
Don't be smoking your weed out on
we
the street.
We know it's legal, all right? We know.
Yeah, just do those gummy bears or whatever they got now.
Oh, did
so
you hear about that?
So they're not stinking up the place.
Did you hear about the weed gummy bears? That like knocked out a bunch of middle schoolers.
Oh man, see, this is exactly what the Republicans are freaking out about.
There was a news helicopter hovering above this San Francisco middle school.
That's the last thing you want if everything's high. everyone.
And then there was a post of like one of the kids passed out on a gurney getting into the fucking
ambulance. Me sad,
that
though.
Kid's going to be scarred for fucking
yeah,
life.
Yeah, that makes me sad because this is the whole thing where they're like, hey, you really got to keep your shit on lockdown. Because kids think it is candy. Like,
well, see, that's the thing. It's like in middle school, I could see actually being confused and thinking it was candy.
Of course.
Like high school, I'd be like, oh, they must have known.
Oh, wait, was this a high school?
It was middle school.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're so young still.
Oh, hell yeah.
It is San Francisco.
Or like,
though.
I mean, shit. If it looks like a damn gummy bear, who's not going to eat it?
I would have passed out too.
Exactly. Okay, a little more about Gibson Art Projects. Founded by Reuben Gibson in 2016, Gibson Art Projects is headquartered at the Pauline Kael Jess Murals House in Berkeley, California. Seminal New Yorker magazine film critic Kael created a cultural epicenter for the arts and hosted salons with the Bay Area cultural elite, even commissioning the world-renowned American visual artist Jess, who is so amazing.
So amazing.
Remember when Matt Sussman did that talk about
do.
Jess? God, I almost cried. Matt Sussman, shout out to you.
Totally.
Okay, so she got Jess to paint murals throughout the home, which are still on the walls today, which is so cool that someone who gives a shit about art is like there to like.
Well, how do they do that? We should interview that, whoever owns the house now.
And we gotta go. Well, he does. Reuben Gibson.
Right. That's like a treasure trove. You know what I mean? Like, how do we, I'm just like worried.
Yeah.
I'm worried about
Gibson,
the next owner.
Don't worry. Okay. The Gibson Art Project's mission is to continue and develop on the profoundly rich artistic cultural heritage started by Kael, Jess, and Duncan. Anyhow, it's a really interesting venue. Everybody go check it out. But don't go over the top. Keep your weed to yourself. If you got weed that looks like food, keep it on lockdown.
Yeah, don't give it to any fucking kids.
Or people that just don't want to consume weed.
Or people that don't realize that the
THC.
Gummy bears you're giving to them aren't actually gummy bears.
Cannabinoids, whatever you got now. Everything's...
I've been in that situation where I was like, oh, look, there's a cookie. And someone's like, oh, but it's a special cookie. I'm like, oh, what do you mean? What's in it? Like, just totally gullible, naive me. Not understanding, like thinking like, oh, there's like walnuts and other things.
Oh.
I'm like, no, it's a special cookie. I was like, oh, thank God I didn't eat that.
Yeah, dude.
I've had edibles once in my life and never again. I was out for 48 hours.
We tried to make ganja butter at my friend Shano's house when I was in high school. We didn't have a recipe or anything. We just heated up a bunch of butter, put the weed in it.
Steeped it for a bit.
Didn't even wait for it to cool down.
Just drank it on straight back.
Put it on a piece of toast. It was so hot and wet. It like soaked through the toast, made a hole in the toast. We're over here trying to like slurp up soggy butter.
Ew, that's disgusting.
It was disgusting.
And amazing.
But you know, shrooms you can pop into a brownie, no big deal. Still tastes gross, but at least you're also eating a brownie. Don't do that. This has all been a pure art project and theoretical. We take no legal or moral responsibility
for anything we've said. So this weekend, Trevor Paglen has a show opening.
Ooh, that's a hot
which
ticket.
I'm super excited about, actually, at Altman Siegel. It opened already on Thursday, so you should see it this weekend if you want, if you didn't make it to the opening. I just always want to give a shout out to Gregory Lynn Gallery. It's a commercial gallery.
We haven't shouted them out in a while.
In 49 Geary, but I really like his work. I like the work he shows, and I think he's a great gallerist.
I've heard he's a very conscientious in his dealings with artists and people.
Yes, I think he's great. He has a show up by an artist named Carla Wozniak, and that's through the end of March. So I just want to encourage you all to get out there.
Although that place across the street that always had the French bulldog hanging out in the window, I don't think they're there anymore. Aww. So don't expect that. Well, Maysoon, I went out to the show out there at T. Morrow Projects in Santa Clara, California. That's down south.
Where is that?
Down south towards San Jose. Very close to San Jose.
Oh, Santa Clara. Right. Got
it. It's in a guy's garage. And he really decked it out. It looks like a real pro art space. And the show was Conrad Guevara and Marcela Pardo Ariza. Oh. And they really work together. Like, it's a very cohesive,
it's a collaborative
two-person show.
Oh, two-person show.
It's still separate works, but you could really tell that they were, like, in conversation as they were doing it.
Yeah.
T. Morrow Projects has been out there for a long time, and they've had some great artists show there.
Can you tell me how that's spelled? Is it T-M-O-R-R-O?
T-M-O-R-O.
Oh.
Because the director is Takeshi Morrow.
It's not tomorrow. I keep thinking tomorrow.
Yeah, people say that.
Okay.
I don't know if he has a problem with it. It's a legit 501c3 that is an art gallery in this dude's garage, which is connected to his house.
Right.
There's a motherfucking orange tree in the front yard, which is just
like
blasting,
an eating orange tree?
Blasting oranges. Oh, giant ass oranges.
So good.
And then somebody related to the gallery was cooking delicious food.
Did you get to eat some of it?
Yes. Rice pudding, rice balls, weird egg ball things with fucking like calamari inside.
I
want to
eat all of
that. Yeah, it was really good. The show was fantastic. Very well thought out. The statement was very concise, but gave you good information, which I love. And the work was experimental and interesting. Like, definitely two artists like checking out how to blast in new directions with their practice, cool. Which I liked a lot. Get it down there, check it out. I think almost every single person that visited the show ended up going and getting falafel at Falafel Drive-In afterwards.
Did you go to like an opening for them?
Yes, it was the opening. So the show is still up. I'm not sure about the hours of that place.
Speaking of two artists working very closely together, I went to Bass and Reiner.
Oh, yeah.
This week and saw there was a collaborative show with Carissa Potter and Mie
Mogensen.
And Mie Mogensen. It was a series of drawings, like ink on paper, drawings framed, unframed, and some canvas paintings. And upon first glance, like, I'm familiar with Carissa Potter's work, but less so of Mia's work. And so upon first glance, I was like, oh, it looks like Carissa did all the drawings and maybe Mia did the ceramics. And then the woman, lovely, lovely gallery sitter, we talked for a long time, was like, actually, you should look closer because it was really a collaborative project. And so upon further looking, you can kind of get a sense of like two different styles, but because they're using the same materials and they're incorporated in the same sort of installation, like wall installation.
Uh-huh.
But they were really sweet. I really like the way they work together. There were some really fun, interesting ceramics a la There was like a ceramic light switch next to the light switch in the gallery.
Oh, cool.
With like the two little flip switch thingies. There were little ceramic like sandals right next to, like on the floor, right next to a really low hung drawing of like a bathroom scene with the sandals.
I love that.
It was a super sweet, very sweet, intimate sort of interior home scene and that was being created.
This is completely unrelated, but did you hear Helly Moly got cast out of LA Mocha?
I'm like, who's Helly Moly? Oh,
Helen.
Oh, you mean Helen Molesworth. Got it. I did hear that. I haven't read any news because I just heard about it today. But there were a couple memes on the intranet.
The memes are going. It's funny to see a meme about that.
Well, but like, you know, women in the arts getting fired because of a certain, because of, you know, any number of reasons and how that seems to be a trend right now with.
Well, but all these reasons being that they were like too fucking politically
right.
agitating for the board and the director, whoever.
Or, yeah.
Or the, you know, people in the sky. So the other people that also were, you know, got railroaded.
Right.
Laura Rakovich?
Yeah, Rakovich.
From the Queens Museum. Right?
And that was over. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I know specifically she was either...
Well, part of it was we talked about it before.
I know.
With something to do with Israel, right?
Israel and Palestine. Yeah. That was could
in
be
support
read as
of BDS.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And that happened quickly. She was out almost immediately.
Well, and before that, she also shut the museum down for the J20 art strike when the inauguration happened. So it seemed like all these political things were like freaking the board out and they fucking were like,
it's such a
fuck you
bullshit thing.
She know your place. That's what they said, I bet.
Yeah.
JK,
it's too bad because I was really looking forward to like next time we go to New York to go visit the Queens Museum because I'd never been there before. But I read an article about all the shit she was doing. I was like, she's awesome.
Yep. And then also Maria Inez Rodriguez.
Who I didn't know.
She was dismissed from Bordeaux's CAPC Musée d'Art Contemporain.
Okay, so in France.
That was my Italian accent.
Italian French.
It was some French place, sure enough.
In Bordeaux.
Anyhow, it's piling up. So.
And then what happened with Helen Molesworth? Well, did you read that?
Well, sounded like another one where she was too political. She was getting in there.
She
God
was,
damn me.
She was just out here. There was just a talk with her at the lab. Wasn't that Julia Bryan Wilson and her?
Yeah.
I missed the talk.
Yeah, Artadia brought her out.
Or do you see yourself as I think of you as someone who is a deeply ethical and a very political curator. Mm-hmm. Activism, I'm not sure about that phrase, but I'm sort of curious what you think.
I do think that I do try, and thank you for saying it, I do try to comport myself with a fairly high degree of ethics in the museum. That is increasingly very difficult to do. Museum boards are increasingly comprised of exceedingly affluent people who don't come from a philanthropic or cultural background, often come from a financial background or a being rich background. And they have really imported a lot of their ways of thinking. For-profit models are very much at play in not-for-profit spaces, and so that makes a certain kind of ethical way of being hard, just like any of our, every day, right, you have a set of ethics and your actions on any given day, the gap between them and what your actual ethics are enormous, right? That's one of the conditions of 21st century life.
Anyhow, point is, it's sketchy city right now in the art world.
Goddamn, this stupid art world.
Stupid art. Okay, so Frank Smigel was the curator of
performance and film at SF MoMA.
That's right.
And he recently announced on Facebook, I'd say within the last week or two, that he has taken a job at Fort Mason Center for Arts and Culture. I'm not sure what the actual title is, but basically as their curator. So he'll be curating exhibitions and performances, presumably. You can't fuck with Frank. I mean, honestly, he's a killer.
He's in a good very way. Tall. Okay, Maysoon.
I wanted to give a shout out to all the high schoolers who walked out this week.
Yes.
I just think that they're all brave and they are our future and their voices count. and they should keep doing it.
Yep. Except my conservative nephew who had a counter protest for the Second Amendment.
Oh, no.
Isn't that out of control?
Oh, he's out of control.
Yep. He even wore a red baseball cap. He's getting worse and worse.
He's really getting intense.
Yeah. It makes me so sad. But to everybody else, great job.
Great job, kids. I mean, students.
And also, in Pennsylvania's 18th district, congressional district, a Democrat won that Trump won by 20 points. 20 a Democrat points. Won. And that includes part of Allegheny County, the same county as Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Although Pittsburgh proper within the city of Pittsburgh is very Democrat.
It doesn't surprise. I mean, I think Trump voters, as fucked up as they are, I think that many of them are probably very disillusioned at his behavior in the past year plus, you know, so it doesn't surprise me that people are turning around their votes already, which is great. I mean, it does and it doesn't, yeah. Right? But it makes sense.
Well, I mean, I wonder how many people voted for Trump and then went out and voted for Lamb, the Democrat, versus how many people didn't vote in the presidential election and now are fired up.
Now they're
like, fired enough to get out to the polls.
Yeah. Yeah. So
if anybody wants to listen to The Pollsters, my favorite polling podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they'll cover it. The trivia question will be back next week.
Oh, shit.
But I'll tell you one thing, Maysoon.
Tell it to me, Kate.
I'll be laying down in the passenger seat of a car on my way from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.